Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 114. In this episode, we're going to be talking about cold email marketing, how you can build and launch a campaign through cold email marketing. Can it be successful in promoting your membership business, your membership website? In the beginning of 2025, I've got my fantastic co-host. She's feeling a bit better this week. She's been under the weather for the past couple of weeks. But she's a trooper. So, Nicole, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Sure, yeah. My name's Nicole. I own a company called Technical Support. I've had my own marketing company for about 17 years now. This is my 17th year. And mainly work with small businesses and actually lots of people, but mainly small businesses on their online marketing strategy and implementation.
Thanks, Nicole. And like I say, in this episode, we're going to be talking about cold email marketing. Can it be effective? What are the key things that you've got to understand? This will be a kind of 101 introduction into the subject. I've done a fair bit of research on this. I think we've got some great information to share with you. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
Coming back, before we go into this show, I also want to point out that we've got a fantastic list of resources for you if you're looking to build your membership website on WordPress. And I think that's a good idea to get all these goodies and also sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can get all these goodies by going over to w-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you'll find this free resource there. What more could you ask for?
I literally could not think of anything I want more than that.
Thank you for saying that, Nicole. She doesn't need it, but the...
I'd like $1 million, but it's a good resource. Folks. Yeah. You haven't downloaded it yet.
It's not bad. It's got some special offers from some of the sponsors as well, and other offers. What more could you ask? You can't. There's nothing better than offers, is there? So, I could tell you like a deal.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, it's just English. It's just English dribble. Introduction. When I brought this subject up, you seemed enthusiastic that we should talk about it.
What do you know
about cold email marketing?
I mean, I know I've been the recipient of cold email marketing, and I think I was happy to talk about it today because I'm not sure if I've ever experienced it in an ethical way. And I feel like you're the kind of person who approaches things pretty ethically. So that's kind of the reason I was excited to talk about this with you today.
Yeah, I think the introduction part, folks, is that it's not illegal. Yes, there are some federal laws out there that if you're a mass spammer, these people are normally outside the jurisdiction of the US, but there have been some that were based in the US, and these are people that are sending out tens, hundreds of emails per day. it's very difficult for them to operate now. They normally are outside the jurisdiction of the European Union or America. But for the normal level that I'm going to be talking here, it's a grey area, and it's very similar to, this is a very similar situation as black hat SEO or grey hat SEO, search engine optimization. People say black hat, like you're doing something illegal. No, you're just doing something which Google doesn't like. You're not breaking any law. If Google finds out, you will probably be highly penalized by Google. That means that your online resources will probably not be found for the next 10 years or whatever arbitrary sanction they put on you. And it's very similar to email marketing. The ideal thing is for people to sign up for your newsletter or sign up for your lead magnet, what you're offering, and get a double opt-in, i.e. most systems, you have to send them an email, say, do you really want to sign up for this lead magnet or whatever? And that's the perfect world, but we live in the real world. And if you're trying to grow your membership website in a cost-effective way, cold email marketing is something that you probably should look at. And where a lot of people go wrong is where they get the list and who is their ideal persona. Who really is the student, the customer for this course, and who would benefit the most? And if you understand that, you probably then stand a good chance of pitching an offer to that group that they will find interesting. So they probably won't classify it as spam. What do you reckon? Am I deluded?
I don't know. Jonathan, I'll be honest with you, and this won't shock anybody. I'm kind of a rule follower. So anything that I think would even, you know, that Google wouldn't like, I haven't done. So today I'm open to learning more about this cold email thing. I'll be honest with you. But I think it depends on the approach. But like I said, something that I like about you as a person is you seem to approach things ethically. So.
Well, yeah. It doesn't bother me to get emails. What bothers me and gets emails and I'm just not interested. And most of them, if they're not set up correctly, end up in my marketing or spam folder anyway. Once a day, I check. But let's move forward.
Yeah.
So everything we're going to discuss is in a way to get around, or get around is probably not the right term, but satisfy the guardians, the gods of email. And who are these gods? Who are these invisible gods that control our inboxes? And what emails that get into our inboxes, and which emails get into our marketing folder or junk folder, never to be seen again? And every email marketer wants to get into your inbox, not to end up, if you're using Gmail, the web interface, their marketing folder, or if you're using a email app like Outlook, like Apple Mail, well, there's a number of them, which are apps, programs on your phone or on your desktop, on your laptop. I use an email app. I use Mail app, bless their hearts, because I'm an Apple person. So you want to get into their inbox, but who says that who goes into the junk folder and who goes into the inbox to be read straight away. Well, it's a couple of gateways, gateway providers, guardians of the inbox, as I call them. And that's ESPs, email service providers, and SEGSs, that secure email gateway providers. So what is a ESP? Well, there's kind of two buckets here. There's your true inbox providers. That's Microsoft, Microsoft 365, Outlook, the same. That's all mixed up. It's Yahoo Mail. It's Zolo Mail. It's these top inbox providers. You know, Google is the biggest, Gmail, and their demand service. These are your kind of inbox, and then there's a second level, which, like MailChimp, Campaign Monitor, a host of providers that provide platforms to send out marketing email and other types of marketing automation. They are all kind of, all these providers are kind of lumped together under the term email service providers. Email is a protocol. It's an agreed communication methodology that if you set up a server and it communicates with another server through a number of protocols that are called email. I'm not going to go into all the nitty-gritties of it because you would find it extremely boring. But it is highly technical. It can vary. But like I say, it's not one centrally commanded individual organization. It's a group of organizations that agree to use this protocol. That's been around a number of years. It's one of the oldest protocols that were the cornerstone of the internet. And these ESPs, they kind of work together. They monitor email activity because they're at war with what is called spammers. But what their real problem is that, and it comes around this second group called secure email gateway providers, and these people provide services for larger companies around cyber security. Because the truth is, the reason why the ESPs and the other, the SEGs, are really interested and they monitor and try and control is the major cybersecurity vector into companies by criminals and other state-sponsored, all the nasty people, as I say. The main vector to get into companies' systems is through email.
Right.
And through people opening email, opening links in the email, or doing something stupid. So they're at war with these people that are trying to get into companies or organizations' IT networks, and email is the main vector. They're not so about people getting into people's inboxes to sell them something, but the thing is, the techniques that these more criminal elements utilize by sending out a lot of email are the same, can seem very similar to the person that's just trying to sell a product. And that's why they're all bundled together. And there's been a number of agreed security updates amongst all these gateway providers, as I call them, to make email more identifiable. Because it used to be a morphology that was anonymous to a high degree, and you could spoof people's email addresses. And it used to be reasonably, if you had some basic skill, it wasn't that difficult. Well, over the last few years, they've increased the number of, if you really want your email to get into people's inboxes, you've got to provide a lot more setup that identifies this email came from this domain and it's recognizable. There's no argument. I'm not going to go into all the protocols, the new protocols that determine that this email came from a real email, but I can assure you that you've got to set up your domain with your email server or provider that the emails, so it identifies that those emails came from that organization or that individual. Is this making sense, Nicole?
Yeah. So is the difference between a secure email gateway provider and an email service provider, is it just like the scale at which they're providing services, or do some of these secure email gateways offer some of those like services that you're talking about? Like one of the only ones I'm familiar with is DMARC as a protocol to like sort of, you know, and basically in that you set like, okay, like the emails on this server and, you know, and I have other servers obviously that send email on my behalf, like QuickBooks or, you know, MailChimp or, you know, whatever. And I have to specify what those are. So is that the difference between a secure and just a regular old email?
Yeah, it's to do with the MX records. You know, you get some service that you've signed up to send email, and they send this email to you with these instructions that you don't understand a word of what they say. And you got to go into your domain where it's part, if you bought it from GoDaddy or something, and you got to go into the MX records or some other record, and you got to set it up so it meets the requirement. Otherwise, they're going to take you out and shoot you. So,
well, yeah, I was just curious if the secure email gateway thing was that they provided a sort of extra level of service, or was it just that
they do.
Like these No, it's fine. I just wanted to make sure that I understood that. So the email service providers we're familiar with, most of them are just regular.
Yep.
The pure email gateway providers are maybe services, you know, that are unlike Gmail and other kind of more popular platforms that.
Well, there's a bit of overlap, but these SEGs, these secure email gateway providers, they do a lot of the stuff that your my mind's gone blank. You know, your antivirus providers.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do it on enterprise. So
that's cool.
Right.
It's
because it's the main the reason why they're into all this is like what I said, it's the main vector for cyber for baddies to get into secure networks.
Yeah.
I just said, hopefully we haven't lost most of the audience. But I needed to explain why.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Why?
Laying groundwork here.
This is the reason why it will be more understandable as we go into this episode, why you need a specialized provider to send out a cold list. If you attempt to do this, you probably won't. But if you, because most of your hosting provider, they can send out email for you, but they've got limits of 50 to 100 email per day. If you attempted to utilize it, if you're allowed to, your website, let's say you decided to host with GoDaddy, not the greatest idea in my opinion. They wouldn't allow you to utilize your web host email functionality to send out more than 50 to maximum maybe a 300 email a day. and then they wouldn't be happy about it. And if you did that, almost got to the limit every day, you still probably get banned or something will happen. And they haven't been set up to do that. And they probably end up in people's spam folder, and they wouldn't end up in people's inbox anyway. So when a hosting provider does provide it email, it's for inbox. It's for inbox functionality. It's not for sending out newsletters or something.
Yeah.
You need something like another provider, like MailChimp, like Campaign Monitor, or SendGrid, or some provider that can send out larger email. And that's what it's designed for. So you need one of those providers with WordPress. You need something like SendGrid. You need an email engine, an email provider that sends out the email. And it's one, basically, they're one of these ESPs, basically, right? So you need an ESP to send out the email. Now, if you sign up for one of these companies with WP Tonic, we partner with SendGrid, and you import a list, and you got a list, and you set it up. They're going to ask you where you got the list from. We ask when we're helping people set up. Now, where did you get the list? And we don't have to be too fussy, because if your domain hasn't got any history and hasn't got a history of sending out a certain volume that gradually grows, you're going to be flagged almost instantaneously. And then you're going to be put into a sandbox, and you're then going to get emails. We're going to get emails from SendGrid, and then we're going to start asking you some questions. And if you don't answer them, your email account will be suspended, because they don't want their email to be utilized for spamming, basically. And what happens is, if you use companies or services that are not that fussy, in the end, the server's IP address goes onto a blacklist, and that blacklist, the other ESPs won't relay your emails through their servers, so your emails don't go anywhere. All right. So it's tightly monitored, but you've bought a list. But your startup membership business, and you haven't got a lot of people that signed up for your newsletter because you haven't been around that long. And you want to tell the world a lot more people about your fantastic course that can solve their real problems. So you either go, there are some DIY ways of building up your list, and or you go and buy a list. And then there's ways of sending the emails so you don't get banned and you don't have problems. But I want to cover, we've got some show notes here, which I shared with Nicole.
Yep.
So before I go, because I like to deal with quickly with number three on our list before we go for our break.
Absolutely.
But what I've said so far, did it make any sense, Nicole?
Yeah. I mean, I guess what I'm curious about is, okay, if I'm hosting on WP Tonic and I have this email list that I bought, and you ask me where I got it, I just want to give you the right answer. It is me saying that I bought it like an automatic red flag to you as a provider?
Yeah. Well, if you suddenly you've put someone provided and suddenly we see we're going to get a note from SendGrid that there's a problem, that this person, you know, suddenly, like, they've got a track record from that domain of sending out about 500 email from whoever it is, and then suddenly they come to WP Tonic and we're using SendGrid and suddenly they're sending out 10,000 plus. That's, no, probably around the 10,000 isn't going to be much of anything, but yeah, they ask questions. We're going to ask questions because we can't, SendGrid doesn't want its servers being marked as being used for spam.
Yeah, and you don't want to send spammers into a service either. Makes sense.
All right. So if you're going to buy a list, there's some things that you've got to understand. And I think you've got to really understand who your students are, who your customer profile is, who your persona is, because you want to make an offer that's attractive. So the more you know who your target audience is and who they really are and what their problems are and their needs are, and you have a real clear, razor-sharp understanding who your target audience, the better your cold email marketing is going to be. So the more niche, the more focused, the more the offer, the language, the wording of the offer in the email campaign really resonates with a real niche, a real persona audience, the better this is going to go. And a lot of people miss out on that step and they don't really think enough about it, because we're going to go through the what you've got to do to be successful in using this marketing tactic. But if you don't get these right, I still think we're going to fail. Choosing the right email service provider, well, we're going to cover that in the second half. Having an authentic email profile, well, that's around your domain quality, history of your domain, and how it's, which I'll be covering in the second half. And adding an email signature, you know, it's been shown that having a signature, your name, having a picture of yourself in the signature, having some contact details, it actually it helps with deliverability, because the ESPs, they look at that and it gives signal to them that you're a real person, that it's coming from a legit company. And it also gives more reassurance to the actual target of your campaign. And it kind of makes sense, doesn't it, Nicole?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that about email signatures. It's cool.
Right, yo. So I think we're going to go for our middle break. Nicole can go and have some coffee. Hopefully I haven't bored her to tears.
No.
No.
Me, I love this stuff.
Yeah, right. But we had to go through all this, our beloved audience. But in the second half, I will be going in how on the mechanics and bet some of the best companies and things you really know to buy a list or build a list so your cold email campaign can get the fab results that you're looking for. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Conversio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Conversio at conversio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code PODCAST20. That's PODCAST20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
So we're coming back. We have had a gorge of information about email marketing, a plethora of pseudonyms and things you need to know. Hope I haven't bored you to death. But before we go into the second half, I'm going to throw it over to Nicole because she's got she wants to tell you about her fab service, Trend to Send, and what it can do for you. So over to you, Nicole.
So yeah, if you need a little bit of complement to your email marketing that you're going to be doing, you probably have thought of using social media, and you probably are using it if you're listening to this show because you're that kind of person. And you might be sort of annoyed that the algorithms are now requiring us to make these short videos and that some of these silly trends that you see go by get thousands and thousands of views. And here's the thing. There's no reason that you can't make some of these videos to complement your marketing mix. So if you are looking for some trending video ideas that will get your content more viewed online, getting more interaction, and increasing the reach of your social media, you can check out trendascend.com. It's a twice weekly text message from me where I send you doable ideas, no stupid dances, all middle-aged person content approved so that it's content that you'll make to help your business that you won't feel embarrassed about. So check out trendascend.com if you're interested in learning more. There's some great resources on this site that are completely free as well. And that's it.
That's fantastic. Go and have a look at it. I highly recommend it. So you haven't got a list. So there's two methodologies. Either you build a list. And what I mean, a cold email list, these are people that haven't signed up in the past. They don't know you from Adam, basically. So they haven't signed up for anything, but you have a good understanding of your target audience. You've built up this profile of the ideal persona. You've done some research and you've really understand the problems of this target audience, right? So your offering will resonate with them, right? So if you want to do it the DIY way, there's a couple of methodologies. There are some platforms, one of them, there's a number of these platforms, but there's a platform called Apollo, apollo.io. I have used this. It has a database of about 120 million people in it, and it provides an interface, and it can actually send out the email. It started off with LinkedIn. It can also do LinkedIn campaigns, but LinkedIn have really got a lot more, looking for the right word. They reduce the ability to do cold outreach through LinkedIn, but it basically it's a good research tool, and you can build lists of using Apollo, and there's other similar services. I'm going to be talking that there's a bit of overlap between research tools for building lists and tools that can actually help you send out the email. This Apollo does a bit of both. But I'll put it in the DIY email list building section of this show because it's got an enormous database. Another methodology is the pay for LinkedIn Sales Navigator, which is to get the bit, you have to pay $99 a month if you're paying month to month. The Apollo, it does have a free account, but I think that's the 7 days. And then it has a $30, but the one that you probably will use is also around $99 a month. I have used LinkedIn Sales Navigator to build up a target list because I'm probably going to, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show, folks, is I'm thinking of doing this myself. And I built a list of about 3,000 prospects by using LinkedIn Sales Navigator. You only get people's emails. You can do connect requests, and I did a number of requests, and I got a number of people that accepted my requests in my target audience, and I built up about 3,000 of these people. And if they accept your request, you then have access to their email details. Okay. So Apollo or using LinkedIn Sales Navigator, two excellent tools to build up your list. Sorry.
Is the LinkedIn Sales Navigator part of LinkedIn Premium, or is it a completely separate thing? Oh, it is part of LinkedIn Premium. Okay.
Yeah, they've got different levels. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I think it's the second level. They used to do a plan around $30, but it got rid of that. I don't have Premier all the time. I just used it to build up the list, and then periodically I pay month to month again. Because it doesn't really, in my opinion, it depends what you're doing with it, basically. If you're into B2B and it's high ticket sales, it's probably well worth the money.
Yeah, for sure.
Another way of getting your cold list is to go to a data broker. Oh dear.
No, it sounds a little sketchy, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, well, everybody's doing it. So everybody knows your business, Nicole. Everybody knows.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't worry me because everybody does. There's a number of data brokers. They basically, they're just glorified databases, and like Apollo, they have, you go in some, if you do a search on a specific list provider for a particular industry, they will come up with pre-developed lists for you, and you want to look at, do they give a guarantee? Has it been checked over? Have they checked their list themselves to make sure that all the email are still active? They don't bounce. There's quality checks. Do they give a money back guarantee period? The better list will give you like 14 days money back guarantee, so you can check the list yourself. Blah blah blah. Or
that's good.
You can sign in for one of these data breaks month to month, or some of them do a token system that you pay for so many tokens, and you can get so many email or data based on your tokens that you've bought. And I've listed here CU Finder, Uplead, Rocket Reach are three of the more credible data brokers out there, but like I say, you can buy lists for specific industries, specific types of individuals, and like I say, you need to check what kind of guarantees they provide, blah blah blah. Questions, cool. Nicole?
No, I mean, that sounds great. Whenever I think about buying lists, I always wonder, like, when were these people added to this list? You know what I mean? Like if I would buy a list of, you know, these are small business owners who are admins to Facebook pages or something. I'm like, okay, when were these people added? And I'm guessing that part of the data they give you the names and all that is when they were added to the list or when their email was verified. I'm guessing exactly. That's typically a field. Okay. That's great. Makes sense. And it's cool that they have guarantees too, and it's good to know to look.
Well, the more they're going to be more expensive.
Sure. Well,
but you get what you normally
get what you pay for.
Not always, but
in this case, sounds like you do.
Yes. Right. Now, in the first half of the show, I described who are the email gods, the gateway providers, why it's become more complicated. Because 10, 12 years ago, you could just buy a list and you could just sign up for MailChimp and you probably could just blast to these people or something. It's like Amazon Web Services do a really great email provider. It's one of the most cost-effective platforms for sending email. It's quite technical to set up. And unless your list is over 100,000, I wouldn't bother. And because they're going to sandbox you for at least 3 months. Now, they are a new breed of can provide you email addresses and also send out the email for you, but they are a new breed and they are different to MailChimp. They are different to Campaign Monitor. They're different from ActiveCampaign. They have been developed for the purpose of sending out cold email. Now, I mentioned Apollo is one of these, but I kind of put it in the first bucket of data research. And one that I'm probably going to be utilizing myself instantly. You'll be able to get all these links in the show notes. You'll be listening to this next week. And all the show notes will be there with all the links on the WP iPhotonic website. Instantly, what does it do? Well, it's got three sections, and you have to pay extra depending if you want all three sections. They have the email sending platform. They have the section that provides email lists, email people depending on your search criteria. And then they have their own CRM. And you can choose if you just want the email sending functionality, if you want the lead, they provide contacts that you can put in to their email sending software. If you want the first two, it's probably going to cost you between 100 and 140. That's sending out, and they do lower price ones, but that price, you'd be able to send about 10,000 email per month out.
It's a lot.
Well, this is the volume, you know.
You've
got to write a good email, which I'm going to discuss. But this is the kind of volume you're talking about to get this 3 to 2% of people that raise their hands. I reply to your email and say, I'm interested. I like what you're offering. Can we chat some more? You're taking them to a landing page, or you've got some special offer and they're signing up for your course. Right. So I've got three here instantly. Woodpecker. I have the name Woodpecker. And a name that I can't pronounce. I was hoping Nicole might help me. Was it
Synovio?
Synovio. Struggling with that one, Nicole. But what do they do? Well, it's all around. If you're going to send out cold email, do not use your normal domain. If I was doing an email, cold email campaign, I would not use my domain, w-tonic.com.
Yeah.
I would buy another domain. And then what instantly can do is that they can set up this domain for you, all the MX records, all the way this domain has to be set up, and then it allows you to set up a number of sub email accounts in virtual inboxes, because depending on how many email that you want to send out each day, most gateway providers, they if they see inbox sending more than 30 or 50 email per day, they get it starts. They're not, there's no watching this. This is all done automatically, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they get a red flag. So what instantly does, if you were doing this in the manually, you'd buy a domain. You have to warm up the domain. That takes about 3 months. Right, you can't just buy a domain and just, well, you can.
But you can, but it's not going to, I was wondering how that would go.
Yeah. So you got to buy a domain, and then the interface, and it's a very slick interface instantly has. They charge you to set up all these sub-email accounts with their own inboxes, and then they gradually warm up the domain. They send out a few email and it gradually increases. And they've got their own internal network. So the email do go to somewhere and it's not marked at bouncing. So they gradually warm up the domain. And then depending on how many email you want to send out each day, there'll be a limit of 30 to 50 email per inbox that they have set up for you. Will determine how many of these accounts that you need to set up with them to reach, if you're looking to send out 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 100,000 email. And by doing all this, it goes into people's inboxes. And they, and instead of ending up in the junk folder or ending up in the marketing folder, it really does end up in, and they give you all the analytical data, and you can see how many are being opened, and they keep the bounce rate down, and they also mimic in the warm-up process that the email have been opened, right? So it does a lot of stuff that you would have to hire a contractor to do and pay and gob the money to do all this. And there were people, I have subcontractors that are consultants for WP Tonic, and they knew how to do all this, but we hired them because we had some large clients that had bought email lists, and they weren't exactly cold. They had signed up for previous products, but they were a large list that hadn't been actively warmed up for a period of time, and they were concerned that they're going to get flagged because they're going to have a high bounce rate. So we had to do email cleansing, and there's a number of tools that we can send a certain number of email, a percentage to inbox, and see how many are still opened. And there's a number of things we did with a number of large clients. It's quite involved, but it's well out the technical ability of the average person. But if you're using something like Instantly, they do all this for you. And if you don't use one of these services, Nicole, you're just going to be flagged up, and your email isn't, you're going to end up on an IP blacklist, and your email will just end up in people's spam folders anyway. So if you're going to buy a list or build a DIY list of cold email but targeted to and give them a real good offer, I feel you've got to use one of these services that I've talked about, Nicole.
Well, that makes sense. Now, from a sort of branding perspective, I know I have to use a different domain than my domain, but would you recommend, so like for you, would you recommend, like, would you buy like getwptonic.com? Would you get a domain that's similar to your business name so that like there starts that brand recognition?
Yeah, you're on the right track. But yeah, but depending on how many... But don't get too sentimental with it and don't spend too much money, because after a few months, you're probably going to have to use another one. Depends on if you're going to, if you get enough response, because this is for lead generation, probably with a membership. When you, to launch your membership website, see, I'm looking at doing this to launch your membership, to get that. Now, you've done your soft launch. You've done your, what we recommend, your half a dozen to a dozen. You sorted out, that's the call solver problem. You got feedback. You've done a proper soft launch, right?
Yeah.
And then you really worked out your landing page, your offer. Your probably a good old idea to offer a discount in using cold email. And you're looking to get, you know, to get that first 500, to get that 1,000. And you want to do it in a cost-effective way. I think it's well worth looking at cold email outreach.
Yeah.
To get that ball really roll, you know, get the thing turning, basically.
So I have kind of a question about, so it sounds like it takes time to warm up the domain, like a couple of months, 2-3 months, and then you start sending emails, and then you said at some point you're going to have to change your domain. So am I going to have to go through that warming up process? Like, you know,
well,
once it's warmed up, can I do it for a few months and then I'll have to like go through that process again?
Well, it depends if you want to use this to get another batch of people in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But hopefully you're doing all the other things that we've discussed in this podcast that, you know, and you're getting enough income that you might look at paid advertising or a mixture. But, you know, if you haven't got the budget, this is going to be a much more cost-effective methodology of getting the wheel turning.
Yeah.
Because the problem with a lot of podcasts around membership, around building courses, Nicole, and it's the purpose of this podcast, Nicole,
right,
is they don't actually tell anybody how they're going to market the bloody course.
Yeah, they tell you how to build it, and yeah.
All right, or they talk. There's a lot of fannel, but they don't actually tell anybody how. So, and it does depend how much email you're sending about having to get another domain.
Yeah.
If you do an initial launch, and but a lot of people that are doing this, they're into B2B or they're churning out like 10,000 email month after month after month, and it just really does depend on the opening rate and do they get complaints, do they get flagged at the spammer or not. But these platforms like Instantly, they really do help in reducing that your emails are going to be classified as spam automatically. And if you do a nice signature and you've really worked out who the persona is. Look, I don't see other people have really get very heated about this, but I get, if the email is got some interest to me and it's offering me a good deal, and am I that bothered I never heard from them before? Be truthful, I'm not. But that's my view. What's your view about it?
I mean, I just get a lot of email, and what I guess what I really hate is like the presumption, which is more like a copy issue, right, than actually getting the email. It's like, oh, do you have you must have a really hard time like closing, you know, getting, you know, you must need an appointment setter or something. And I'm like, how do you know what I need? We've never talked before. But I don't know. I just find when someone assumes a certain problem, I find it a bit presumptuous, but yeah. Like I said, if something's good, I don't really, I'm open to it.
Well, it does work. If cold email didn't work, folks,
they wouldn't do it.
People wouldn't do it because the reason why they do it, folks, is it works. But the copy, you do not want to send long-winded email to in the cold. It wants to be to the point. Actually, changes of the tagline and personalization is really important. And instantly has a very it's got very nice interface and it's got functionality that really helps. And another factor is that the gateway providers, if they see a load of email with the same tagline, the same in the email tagline, if they see the same wording going out to 10,000, their technology using artificial intelligence will flag you. What instantly does it? It takes a certain percentage and changes the tagline, so it doesn't trigger. Right. So, and they provide a lot of. They've got actually a very good YouTube channel, folks, and they provide a lot of educational material.
And this is the instantly people. Yes, that.
Yeah, they've done a really great job on it on the education front, and but the others are good as well. I'm not getting any affiliate income by saying that. I'm just saying it's like they're the people that I'm probably going to be using for my own campaign. So I've gone through the basics here. No, be honest. I know you will. Nicole doesn't care. She does tell me. What do you think? Do you think I've done a because I get a feeling that you might want to shower after this episode because
no. Honestly, I feel less gross about it than I thought I was going to. I think it kind of like some of this makes sense, and I've had various products that haven't got a lot of traction, and I don't think it's because they're bad, but I am like. Okay, like this is an avenue I haven't previously considered, but I like the idea that it's kind of off the domain and there would be like a sort of way to sort of try it at maybe a smaller scale before, you know, and kind of seeing, like you said, the interaction and things that you get. I think that all kind of makes sense to me. I'm not as morally opposed to it as I thought it was going to be.
Other people will be outraged by this episode, Nicole. I'll probably get heat mail for this. Heat mail. But where I think a lot of people go wrong is in the copy, is in the offer, is in the language they use. Keep it short. This is not a medium to send out War and Peace, folks. Nobody's got the time. But if it's targeted to the right audience and the offer is worded and is you know good value, I think you can get results with this because like I say, if people weren't getting result from this, folks, they wouldn't keep on doing it. It's as simple as that.
True.
Right. So, Nico, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Yeah. So if you go to technicalsupport.com or technical support on most social media platforms, you'll see me there.
And if you want to support the show, why don't you think about joining the Membership Machine Show's Facebook group? Just put that into Facebook. It's totally free. It's a mixture of people like you trying to build their business. It's WordPress professionals and marketers. It's a great group. Love to see you there. If you've got any questions, that's the best place to put. And I always attempt to answer any question that's put in the group person himself.
Nice.
We will see you next week with another great show to help you build your membership business in 2025. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.